I want to say that I'm grateful. I'm very grateful for you coming to Little Bethlehem. Everyone that comes to Little Bethlehem, I'm so very grateful for you. I appreciate you so very much. You mean so very much to me. I don't want to hurt you. I really don't, from the bottom of my heart. Now, like tonight, I know your thoughts. I know what's going on in your mind and in your heart. And if I didn't know, then I wouldn't be a true shepherd. Did you know that? There's a man sitting here tonight, and he's not coming against me in the spirit at all. But he's very perturbed in his spirit because he feels like that I discovered him the other night, that he's been walking out of sauce with me and not walking in harmony. And it showed up the other night, and it's got him grieved tonight. Not really deeply grieved, just moved. If he was deeply grieved, he would get away from it. He wouldn't do it anymore. But it moves him because he knows that it's true. He wants to be right with me just like that. But he don't want to give up his position in his intellectual reasoning to be with me. But he'll never be with me until he does. And nobody else can be with any minister until they give up their intellectual reasoning. When they get over Jordan and kill out the old carnal intellectual reasoning, then they'll be with God just like that. And when they get with God, they won't have to worry about being with the minister. They'll be with the minister like that. Because if he's a true minister of God, he's with God. And if you get with God, you'll be with him. And if you don't get with God, you're not going to be with him. All right, a minister is in kind of a precarious sort of a place to the world. And yet it's an unusual place, but it's a great place. Most people misunderstand the minister. Some don't believe in the minister. Some do believe in the minister. But he's in an unusual place. And I try to remind you a lot of times that the minister is set in the church for your good. See, he's set there for your good. Because God loves you, he has put a minister in the church. And the minister is set there for your good. And he wants to do good unto you. You believe that's true? I'm going to read just a little bit, and then I'm going to say a few words right here to you. In the 139, the book of Psalms, 139th chapter, in the 19th verse, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. I want you to listen to that now. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Now, you know, a lot of people don't believe that God will slay the wicked. Isn't that right? But he starts out by saying, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I believe the devil will do that. It didn't say the devil would do that, did it? It said, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Somebody said, God loves everybody, Brother Pike. There's one thing about it. You believe whatever you believe. I believe what the Bible said. The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day, and surely God will slay the wicked. As far as I'm concerned, that settles it. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and vain enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. 141, the fifth verse, let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent all, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayers also shall be in their calamities. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own net, whilst that I withal escape. In this, I really see something. God says here in the Holy Scriptures, 139th chapter, he says in this chapter, I will slay the wicked, saith the Lord. I will slay the wicked. Now, the minister is something that God has set for your good, but he is also a revenger for God's sake. The ministry is set here for your good. I as the minister, anybody else that God has called to the ministry, is set here for your good. I am put here that I might preach the gospel, that you might be saved. If you believe what I tell you, the Bible said, believe my prophets and prosper. If you believe the ministry of God, you will prosper. If you bless the ministry, God will bless you. If you curse the ministry, God will curse you. But the ministry is set here for your good. The Bible teaches that the ministry is set here for your good. But it tells us in the Word that we are to beware. Beware, God said, for if you do not do that which is right, then the minister is set there to execute judgment upon them that do wickedly. You see, the minister has an office, and that office is to execute judgment upon them that do wicked. Now then, the judge is out here in the world. You automatically understand and know the truth that if you violate the law, you're going before the judge. And you know that the judge has the power and the authority to bind your sins or remit your sins in the sense of the law. You know that. If you do wrong, you know that the judge can sentence you to life in prison if he so desires. He will sentence you according to the judgments of that book by which he is governed. If he is a minister of integrity, then he is compelled to do something about your condition. Isn't that right? If he doesn't bring forth some kind of verdict or render some kind of verdict that is just in the behalf of the people and the protection of the people, then he is perverted. Isn't that right? He is considered a perverted judge, and the people will soon get rid of him. For the simple reason that if a person should do that as a judge, they are guilty. They are just as guilty as the man that did the crime. So then he's got to render a verdict according to the decision of the court. All right, so then it is the same way with the ministry. I am here as a minister and many others across the world. They are set here as the ministry for your good, not to harm you, not to hurt you, because God loves you. The Bible teaches that God so loved the world, the people of the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that he should spill his blood at Calvary, that you might have eternal life. So loved you that he did that, personified himself in a human body, tabernacled in a body called his Son, came down into this world and died for your sins and my sins. He did that because he loved you. Knowing that God so loves you, then we know that he would not send a minister nor a ministry that would hurt you. Isn't that right? He would not hurt you for anything because you are the apple of his eye. So then God would not hurt you. But we've got to remember one thing. If you do not do that which is right, then Jesus did not die for your sins. Jesus did not spill his blood for your sins. Now we like to believe that Jesus spilt his blood for everybody, but God did not send his Son to die for everyone. That is where you have made a great mistake in your understanding and thinking. The Lord Jesus Christ did not die for all of humanity. He died to save those that would believe on him. You understand what I'm saying? He died to save those that will believe on him. It is a true fact that the Lord spilt his blood in the behalf of humanity so that all of the lost would have a chance to be saved. Without respect to person, he did it. But there is only one people that are divine partakers of the blood of Jesus, and those people are the ones that believe in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So then Jesus declared in the day that he walked this earth, he said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Isn't that right? I am sent not to the world. I do not pray, Father, that you should keep the world. He told the Heavenly Father in his prayer, he said, I do not pray for the world. I do not pray that you would save the world, nor keep the world. I'm not praying that kind of prayer. He said, but I'm praying, Heavenly Father, that you keep these that call on my name. That you keep these that believe in the blood atonement. My blood that I shed at Calvary. Those that hear my words, Jesus said. I will slay the wicked, God said. The minister is put there for this purpose. That he might execute judgment upon them that do wicked. So then God did not send the ministry to hurt you, nor to injure you. Because God loves you. You are the apple of God's eye, and I say that to the saints of God. But to them that do wickedly, the Bible teaches that God is angry with the wicked every day. And God has sent the ministry to execute judgment as a great judge upon them that do wickedly. God has sent me and every other minister that we may execute judgment upon them that do wickedly. The Bible said, if you do that which is evil, then be afraid. For the minister beareth not the sword in vain, for he is God's minister that is set here to execute judgment upon them that do wickedly or do evil. So then he hath the power from God to help you. Believe my prophets and prosper. The Bible tells us that whatever he binds on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever he looses on earth will be loosed in heaven. The writer said, as my Father has sent me, Jesus, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins that you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins that you retain shall be retained. He tells us that judgment begins in the house of the living God. That we are judges, and in the house of God, that is where judgment begins. They usually have 12 elders in the church that has to do with the jury. And in the church, in the house of God, we are judged. Not only are you judged, but the people of the world are judged. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I believe that you have the power to judge the saints, but not the people of the world. But that's where you're wrong. See, the Bible said, if you do that which is wicked, then be afraid, for the minister beareth not the sword in vain. He is set there to execute judgment upon them that do wickedly. Amen. That is those that are out yonder in the world. Look at the case of Ananias and Sapphira. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? They were not righteous people. And he executed judgment upon them. Somebody would say, well, they'll be judged when they get to the judgment. If that's true, why did Peter speak the words of judgment? And why did they drop dead? Why did God give a man a right to cause those people to die? Because he had the power of judgment. See, God isn't going to do anything over there that Peter didn't do down here. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever he told Peter to do down here, that's the way it's going to be over there. See, whatever the law is and being set forth in the book, if the judge says it, that's the way it's going to be when it gets over to the jailer. Isn't that right? Take it up to the Supreme Court, and it's going to be the same way in the Supreme Court because that's the rule book. All right, so we're set here with the great rule book to execute judgment upon them that do wicked. If this isn't true, then why is it that when the men came for Elijah, that he stood there and called upon God and said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down out of heaven and devour these that are standing here. He had the power of judgment. They sent the second group, and the second group came over. And the second group, he said, what do you come here for? They said, because the king sent for us to come and get you, the prophet of the Lord. He said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down the second time and devour him. It came down and devoured him. The third dispatchment took a different outlook. When the old king said, you go get the prophet, and they'd heard about the end of the others, they went out there and the prophet said, what are you doing here? They said, sir, master, Lord, said, we come out here to have a talk with you. Said, let our lives be spared, be merciful to us. Said, the king sent us out here, we're just doing our duty. And the Lord spared them. You know why the Lord spared them? Because the prophet spared them. Isn't that right? The prophet had the power to bring down judgment because God had sent him for that purpose. The Bible said, if you receive him that I've sent, then you've received me. But if you do not receive the one that God has sent, you have rejected God. Is that right? So then we must receive the one that God sends. When the Lord sends somebody, we've got to receive him, because it's important that we receive the one that God sends. This is where a lot of people get off base, right there. That's where they get out of scripture, and that's where they get in trouble with God. They say, well, he's just a preacher, just like somebody else is a preacher, and I'm not paying any attention to anybody. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. But beloved friend, God has never and never will tell anybody anything to do except through the preacher. Did you know that? Did you know that that's true? God speaks through his word. And his word comes to the prophets. Or through the ministry. God will speak to you according to what he has told you by the ministry. That's the way that God speaks to you. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. You understand what I'm saying? That from the foundation of the world, no one ever got by the word. There's never been a time when anybody ever got by the word. From Adam on, you can't find any place. You say, well, those men in the Old Testament, God spoke to them and they were saved. You can't find that in the Bible. The Bible said all of them died under the law, not having received the promise. They died in faith, but they received nothing until Jesus Christ came and the ministry came. So then God speaks through his ministry. God speaks through his word. And we cannot say that we're not going to listen, because we have to listen. You say, I don't have to listen, Brother Pike. I don't mean you have to listen in the sense that you're going to hear what I or the ministry tells you, but you've got to listen in the sense that when you stand before the judgments of God, God will say, the word of the Lord went into all the land and you didn't receive it. You never heard the voice of the Lord. And because of that, you're condemned and turned into the fire. So you're going to listen. There's no way to get around it. Somebody would say, well, I'm not going to bow before God, but the Bible said everything in heaven shall bow, everything in the earth shall bow, and everything beneath the earth shall bow. Every devil, every demon, Satan will bow. Every person will bow to the Almighty God and confess that Christ Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. Somebody would say, well, I understand that, Brother Pike, but I'm not going to bow down to you or any minister. But the Bible said that you ought to submit yourself one to another as unto the members of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? And the Bible said that I will make them come and kneel at your feet and know that I have loved you. All right. I tell you again, when the apostles asked the question, they said, Lord, what shall we receive? We have left home. We've left our families and we've come this way. Now, what shall we receive, Lord? And he made the statement. He said, when I sit upon my throne, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones beside me, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Isn't that right? So then when all of the world, Israel, all of them come to kneel before Jesus, there's 12 other thrones right there. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. There is something so rich and real about serving God. There is no way to get around it. It's so high you can't go over it. It's so low you can't get under it. And it's so broad and wide you can't get around it. You've got to go in at the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the door, Jesus said. No man can go to the Father but by me. No man can get into the Spirit except by me. I'm the door, Jesus said. Oh, that makes me feel religious. I tell you, I get to talking about the things of God and I just get to feeling good all over. I really do. It gets to bubbling like a little pot on the inside. Something gets to singing to me and I feel like a little bird and just fly away. I feel so good, so wonderful. Hallelujah. It's joy unspeakable and it's filled with glory. I will slay the wicked, Jesus said. God said, I will slay the wicked. He didn't say the devil will slay the wicked. He said, I, the Lord, will slay the wicked. I will slay the wicked. Isn't that right? Somebody would say, now, Brother Pike, God doesn't do anything like that. But I want you to know, when that prophet said, let fire come down and devour them, that was God that devoured them. That wasn't the devil to devour them. The power of God was called down by the prophet Elijah. And fire came down out of heaven and consumed them. That was God that did that. Do you agree? When Ananias and Sapphira stood before Peter, who slayed them? Did Satan slay them? No. Satan put it in their heart to lie. Said, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. Somebody would say, wait a minute now, Peter. I don't see God around here anywhere. I don't see God. You're taking a mighty lot upon yourself to stand there. You're just a man, like I'm a man. And you tell me because I didn't tell you the truth that I've lied to God. Who gave you the right, Peter, to do that? But I want you to know that Peter said, thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. You didn't make a vow to man. You made a vow to God. Folks, you didn't promise Brother Pike you'd do right. You said to God you would do right. You promised God that you would give your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Christ, which is your reasonable service. You never vowed it to me. God only sent me as a shepherd to watch after those sheep. He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than all of these? Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus just looked at him again. Said, Peter, lovest thou me more than all of these? Peter said, Lord, yea, I love thee. Jesus looked at him again. And he said, Peter, lovest thou me more than all of these? The Bible said Peter was grieved in his spirit. And he said, Lord, you know all things. Oh, he said, you know everything, Lord. You know whether or not I love you. You know what it was? Here's what it was, see? Jesus said, Peter, do you love me more than all of this fishing and all these things that's been in your heart? Peter said, yes, on the spur of the moment. And Jesus said, Peter, are you sure? Peter said, well, sure, I love you better than fishing. But Jesus asked the third time. And then Peter got shook up. You know why he got shook up? Because suddenly it dawned on Peter that a child is known by his doing. Jesus was saying, Peter, if you love me more than all of these, why is it you're not feeding my sheep? What are you doing out here in a boat? What are you doing going fishing and leading my people off out here to fish instead of to preach the gospel? If you love me, Peter, keep my commandments. Didn't I tell you to feed my sheep? If you really loved me, you'd be feeding my sheep. You would have kept my commandment, Jesus said. Isn't that right? And that's what I tell you as the minister of God. If you really love Christ, you will keep his commandment, beloved friend. If you do not keep his commandment, you cannot convince God that you love him. Can I convince God that I love God when I don't do the things God tells me to do? I cannot convince him. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Peter. Isn't that right? Peter learned something. Peter began to keep the commandments of God. And that's why when Ananias and Sapphira stood before Peter, that Peter knew what to say. He knew what to do. He knew that he had erringly, unwillingly, not selfishly, but out of the integrity of his heart went to fish. But God had reproved him over it. And he knew that he was guilty in the sight of God. And so then when Ananias and Sapphira came up and he knew that they willfully had done it, he knew that they had crossed over the deadline. Friend, I'm telling you something. I try my best to reason with you as dear children of God because I love you. Many of you that's hearing my voice right now, many of you that's right here looking at me right now, many of you have failed God in that you knew better than to do what you did. And the judgments of the Almighty God has come. At last, the judgments of God has come. Did you know the judgment of God cannot come as long as people do not know what is right and wrong? Did you know that? Did you know you're not really guilty of transgression of the law if you are ignorant? Isn't that right? But now then, at last, the word of God has filled all of the earth. The Bible said the word of the Lord shall fill the heavens and fill the seas and fill everywhere. And at last the filling of the word in the earth has come about. The heavens are declaring his handiwork. Everywhere the knowledge of God is being seen. So then it means that man is at last guilty. You that are religious, you that have been church members, you that have done all these things that you thought didn't matter. You have transgressed the word of God. You blind leaders of the blind, you shepherds that have fed yourself and not fed the sheep. God said, I will remove you from over my flock, and I will raise up shepherds after my own heart who will not feed themselves but feed the flock. I will bring my shepherd David, the man after my own heart. One day the Son of God shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And all nations will come and hear what he has to say about the word of the Lord. Can you imagine that? Now here I am a shepherd tonight. And the Bible teaches if I obey God, if I be a good shepherd, then when the chief shepherd shall appear, he will give me a crown that fadeth not away. Isn't that right? But can you imagine? Here I'm trying to tell you the word of God. I'm trying to live the word of God. I'm trying to speak the word of God. I'm trying to keep the word of God. I'm doing my best, but think when he, the word of God, comes. Think about it. When the word of God, whose vesture is dipped in blood, when he, the word of God, without alteration, without change, shall come. And you shall stand before him, the word of God. You will stand before him, the word of God. Think what it's going to be like. When you stand before the word of God, not somebody's opinion of the word, but before the word himself. Think what it's going to be like. When you stand before the word of God, God the word stands there. Hallelujah. I feel him, don't you? I feel his lovely presence. The word of God stands there. And you say, Lord, I believe. I believe, Lord. The Lord will say unto you, what do you believe? What do you believe? And you say, I believe, I believe. What do you believe? What your grandmother has said, what your mother has said, what the church has said, what the denominational powers have said, what somebody has said, what some preacher has said. What do you believe? And then they begin to examine themselves. Where the Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. You know, faith by the hearing of the word. And they begin to examine themselves. And all of a sudden, they become aware that they are facing the word, the living word, that the word is standing there. You know, if it's just a preacher or somebody else, you might dispute with them. They might say, this is what the Bible said. And you might say, well, I don't believe it like that. You can say, this is what I've been taught in my lifetime, and that's what I believe. And you can try to make them believe that that is the word. But brothers and sisters, when the word himself stands there, you're going to be speechless. You're not going to be able to say, well, I don't believe that's the word, and I'm not sure that you know the word, and I wonder if you really understand what you're saying. You're going to see him, the word, and he's going to say, what do you believe? Then, and then only, will you recognize the value of having believed in the word? Amen. Having believed in God's word. My words are spirit and my words are life. He that heareth my words, Jesus said, and believeth on him that sent me, is passed from death unto life. Amen. And shall not come into condemnation. The word of God. Believing on the word. I'm going to close in just a few minutes, but I want you to listen to this now. Believing on the word. You understand what I'm saying? When he, the word of the living God, stands there, and you say, my God, what do I believe? And the word begins to speak to you. The word itself, not somebody quoting the word, but the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was God. God was in the beginning. And then the tabernacle of the word is standing there. God, the tabernacle. God the great spirit tabernacling in the body of Christ Jesus. And there stands the tabernacle. And there stands the word. And the word says, before the world was, I am. All of my promises are yea and amen. I'm from everlasting to everlasting. I am the rose of Sharon, the bright, the morning star. I am the lily of the valley. Hallelujah. I am he that was dead and risen from the dead and am alive forevermore. And you sit there and you can't deny it. You say, my God, that's the word. That's the word. Do I have faith in the word? Have I really passed from death unto life? How do I know? Because I love my brother. I love my brother. The word tells me I must love my brother. Do I really love my brother? Do I really love my brother? I say this tonight. If you really love your brother and your fellow man, what about the people in India that needs a helping hand? What about the people of Africa that you're supposed to be helping? What about the hundreds and thousands and millions of people that are waiting for a testimony from you concerning Christ? If you believe in the word, then let's do one thing. The Bible said, I must be up and about my Father's business. Let's be up and let's be about our Father's business. Let's do something for God. Can you? Can you do something for the Lord? Let's stand together. I want to say again tonight, I appreciate your kindness. Very reluctant to try to say much tonight because of the previous program. Not wanting to hold you too long. Not wanting to injure you or hurt you in any way. So then, can we believe in the Word? Can we? Can we believe in the Word of God? Hallelujah. Do you believe in the Word? Do you believe in the Word? I appreciate you tonight. I thank God for every one of you. But don't forget, something is taking place. Something is taking place. I don't know just what it is. I say that for your benefit. I don't know just what it is as to the way you would want it to be explained to you. I don't know just how to do that. But I know what it is as to what God is wanting me to do and what he is wanting for his people. I need your strength. I need your strength. Not that I have to have it because I have God's strength. But I need your strength in a unified effort to where you and I can reach the world for Jesus. I need your strength. There is great men of ability, great men of skill, great men that God has blessed in many, many ways. They have great abilities in the world. I'm talking about men that love Jesus. And I need your help. I need your help to carry the gospel of Christ to the ends of the earth. If you're lost without God, and some of you are, if you're lost without Jesus Christ, then I give you an invitation to come to God. I give you an invitation to be saved. I offer you an invitation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Night after night as I stand here, day after day as I stand here behind the sacred desk, whether I'm here in the sanctuary or whether I'm under the tent or whether I'm on the street corner, I ask you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. I offer you an invitation to accept God. The greatest decision that you ever made in your life is when you decide to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That, I mean, really genuinely from your heart, surrender and decide to serve the Lord Jesus. That's the greatest hour of your life, the greatest moment of your life. When you really down in your heart, once and for all, say, I am going to change my way. I'm going to change my way. I am not going to continue to be the kind of person that I have been in the past. I'm going to change my way. And from this day forward, I am going to be a Christian. I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. The Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. I'm going to ask God to save me. I'm going to ask God to help me. And I believe that God will. If you take that attitude, God will save you. God will forgive you and God will strengthen you. And God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Endow you with power from on high. You'll have the great Holy Spirit flooding your being. And you'll be a witness for God wherever you go. You'll have a comforter to help you in the time of distress and peril. But you got to make a decision. You got to make it once and for all. You can't go and come. You can't make it and then back out. You can't. Once you start, you've got to really mean business with God and continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All right. Now, I want you to come down here for a few minutes. Will you do that? Let's gather around the altar for just a few minutes. Let's gather around just for a few minutes, Christian friend, sinner friend. Let's gather around the altars for just a moment. Will you? Now, when I look and see so many of you that respond when I make this appeal, it really thrills my heart because I know that you're concerned or you would not do it. I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. We don't have to be in the church. I realize that. You can be in the field plowing. You can be out in your automobile. I prayed for people along the road. Perhaps pick up a hitchhiker and talk to him until he would fall under conviction. And just pull off the side of the road and stop. And the man would give his heart to God. Because the true altar is in your heart. In your heart. That's where your true altar is. Your true altar is in the heart. And all you've got to do is believe. That's all. But you've got to really believe. No make believe. You've got to really believe. You've got to call on the name of Jesus. Call on the name of the Lord and ask God to save you. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to help you. You that are Christians, ask God for strength. Ask God to lead you. God wants to give you strength. You know, God doesn't just want us to be a Christian, but God wants us as the body of Christ to go forth and do something for Him. How many of you agree that that's true? Let's do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be about the Father's business. Don't mock the minister. It might be his prayer that saves your soul and your life. Don't be foolish. But remember, God is trying to help you. God is not mocked. Many times a minister stands behind the sacred desk and people mock him. I've been in churches and watched the minister. I'd be sitting beside somebody that did not know perhaps that I was a minister. And they would be mocking. But God isn't mocked. It may be God's prayer that utters forth from the minister's breast, pleading for your soul. The Spirit giving forth utterance and groans and moans. It may be that that will save your life or save your soul. Did you know there's numbers of you here tonight? And this is the truth. If it had not been for my prayer or some other person's prayer that touched God, you wouldn't be here tonight. You wouldn't be here. But God, through His mercy, heard my prayer. I pray for you all the time. I pray for you. I pray for the people of God around the world, and that's the truth. I pray for the people in Sweden. I pray for the people in Germany. I pray for the people in India and Africa and around the world. I pray for the people. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me you pray for the people in the world? I pray for people all over the world. I said, well, I think you're wasting your prayer. If God can hear me praying for one individual, God can hear me praying for thousands and millions of people. I believe just as much when I'm praying for millions of people as I do when I'm praying for one person. That's the truth from the bottom of my heart. I actually believe in my heart and am convicted in my heart that when I pray for people throughout the world, that the God of heaven hears my prayer and every single individual in the world, that God, some way or another, will touch them and deal with them somehow or another. Hey, say, Brother Pike, you can't believe that, so help me. God, I believe it. I believe the God that I'm serving is concerned about every person in the world. And I believe that He'll do something. I don't know what it will be, but He will do something to touch their heart or to touch them, the kings and the rulers and the great leaders. I pray for them. The Bible said, pray for the rulers of the nation. Pray for the kings of the world. pray for them. Now, why did God ask us to pray for them if God isn't going to do anything about it? Did you know the Bible tells you, now you Christian people, now you listen to my voice, listen to me now. You Christian people, the Bible said you pray for those that are without, them people that are out yonder in the world. He said you pray for those people that God will grant repentance unto life to those people. Now isn't that something? God has raised you up as a royal priesthood to make intercessory for the world, everybody in the world, to intercede as the body of Jesus Christ. That's the Bible. The Bible says that we stand in God's stead beseeching the world to be reconciled unto Christ. We are His bodily presence in the world today. Isn't that right? And we are praying and we are pleading that God will grant repentance to them that are without, that God will grant them repentance that they may repent of their sins and call on the name of Jesus. Samuel said, I would not sin against God by not praying for the people. God forbid that I should do that. Praying for the people, and we pray, Jesus, grant repentance unto my neighbor. Have you prayed for your neighbor? How are people grumbling about their neighbor? They said, that old neighbor, have you prayed for that neighbor? Have you prayed one time? Have you spent one sleepless night on your knees for that neighbor? Have you done it? The Bible tells the minister said, lay in the altars all night, ye ministers, and howl all night long. Have you howled one night for those people? Have you prayed for the lost? Have you? I feel God. Have you wept one night? Have you pleaded one night? Have you testified to your neighbor one time? Have you done anything to get your neighbor in church? I have in my lifetime met people that I would never have believed would come to the house of God. Never would have believed in my natural mind that they could have ever been saved or would have ever considered Christ. But a little prayer, a little talk, a little effort from someone or myself, and it brought them to God, and they're some of the finest Christians today. My brother Junior, Sam Junior, I would never have believed he'd ever come to God. He was so natural-minded, so carnal-minded, cursed and smoked and cared nothing for God. Wouldn't listen to nothing I said or anybody that had something to say about Jesus. But he came to God, and today he's a devout Christian, supporting the work of Jesus. I've got people right here in the sanctuary that though you are very religious, you're not right with God. There's people that hear my voice right now, thousands and hundreds and millions of people out there that perhaps I'll never get to speak to. And yet many of them hear my voice right now. There are many of them out there that if they had one word, just one word from God, they would come to God. But that is those that are lost. But the religious people, many of them that profess Christianity in the churches, thousands of them that profess Christianity in the churches, they're not right with God. They go to church regular, but they're not right with God. They're not right with God. But folks, we can be right with God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus, can you? We can be right with God. We can be saved. We can be filled with the great Spirit of God. We can be deliverers. God said, I will bring up upon the mountain deliverers. God can raise you up as a deliverer right there. You're the body of the Lord Jesus. You should be a deliverer. I'm going to say this in closing. I know this is a long shot in the dark, somebody would say. But I tell you, it's light all the way. All the way. God said, I will raise up deliverers upon the mountain. Isn't that right? I will bring up ministers or bring up the body of Christ that will be deliverers. I will bring forth saviors. Saviors. Wouldn't you like to be a savior? Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, there is no savior but Jesus. He's Lord of lords, for there's other lords. He's King of kings, for there are other kings. He is Savior of Saviors, for there are other Saviors that have saved people. He said, no, that if you have saved a soul from that if you have turned a man away from sin, pulled him out of the fire, or converted him, know that you have saved a soul from hell. He said, I will bring up upon the mountain Saviors. That's what the Bible says. I will bring up Saviors. So there must be Saviors in the plural. I will bring up Saviors. Every time Israel sinned, God raised them up a Savior. Isn't that right? Raised them up a Deliverer. You can be a savior. If you convert a man, know that you've saved a soul from sin and from hell. That's a savior. Wouldn't you like to be a savior? If we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, isn't it right to be a savior? That's what he is a savior. Let's lift our hands together. Can you, Christian friend?
Hallelujah.
Now you hear me tonight. All of you hear me tonight. It shall come to pass that whoever heareth his voice, even those that are in the grave, the Bible said, if you can hear his voice, you'll come forward. Some are dead while they live, but if you can hear his voice, even those in the grave shall come forth. I had a night vision one night. I was way up in the air, suspended up in the air. And I was moving through the dark, and I went over a graveyard. And as I went over the graveyard, I called, and I said, come out of the graves in the name of Jesus. Nothing didn't happen. I moved on a little further, and I screamed out. I said, come out of the graves in the name of Jesus Christ. And the graves broke open, and the people come out of the graves. Israel, I will bring you out of your graves, he said. Everyone that can hear my voice, Jesus said, everyone that will hear my words and believe on him that sent me has passed from death unto life. If you can hear my voice, God will save you. God will forgive you. God will heal you. I want to pray for you tonight. I want you to lift your hands and believe with me. Father, tonight as we stand together, Lord, in a mass tonight, lifting our hands up toward heaven. Holy Father, I know that there's none other name given under heaven whereby man can be saved or be free from sin and death. There is none other name, Father, that will bring healing and salvation and deliverance, saving the name Jesus Christ. God, and you said beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, that the name of Jesus would be preached for the remission of sin. And it would come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord would be saved. And Father, as I stand here tonight, I call upon the name of the Lord in the behalf of every person that can hear my voice tonight, Father. Lord, every person that can hear what I'm saying, I pray for them, Holy Father, in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you would heal them, that you would break off the yokes and the bondages, heal them and forgive them, my Heavenly Father. Take away their iniquities and take away their sins. Take away their evils, my Father. Heal them and forgive them, Father. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, forgive their sins. Heal their sick bodies. Break the yokes and them that are demon-possessed. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, that the demon powers will break their hold. Satan, I adjure thee in the name of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you take your hands off of the people in Jesus' name. And I speak healing. I speak deliverance. I speak salvation. I speak blessings. Father, you said whoever I bless would be blessed. I bless the people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here. All right, we've got a brother and sister here that Mike and Raph invited to church. Is this the visitors right here, the camera? Would you tell us your name, please? Are you locally or where are you from?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Certainly glad to have you here. See, folks, it pays to witness. Compel them to come in that my house might be filled. Two fine people here that's come to visit with us because of an invitation. I think that's wonderful. A number of people have come out. Don't forget to tell somebody. If you believe in God and you love Little Bethlehem and you love the house of God, tell somebody about it. Can we sing this song together? We appreciate you so much. God bless you. I hope you can come back regularly. Let's just sing this little song together. Just another touch, Lord, from you. I'm hoarse tonight. It's hard to sing and preach too, but I love to try to sing a little bit if I can. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you. Can you sing it with me? To help me with the trials I go through. And though dark may be the night, I can see a ray of light when I feel
another touch, Lord, from you. Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul, for something has happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and he made me whole. Can you sing it again? Oh yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me.